Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
So I did. See, I don't know if I did you a solid. I did Nate a solid.
Huh.
Jake, you might be mad, but I'm gonna break you.
Whoa.
I'm going to break you.
No, thank you.
I must break you.
I think you have to have consent for that.
I just got a beautiful, a very beautiful, oh, Nick Leckie's going to be so pissed because he's usually in studio. I just got a beautiful email from a wonderful man by the name of Kevin Doyle Strouds.
One of the best human beings.
And all it said is this.
He's the best.
All it said is this. Are you hungry yet?
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
It's happening.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to have to watch it.
It's happening.
I was supposed to be good today, too.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Nick's going to be more pissed than I am.
It could have been tomorrow, and you ain't here.
No, I know. I'm not complaining, man.
I could have eaten it tomorrow. But I guess I can still
play. You can do it today.
No, I can't do it today.
Championship game week.
I can't do it today.
Nick Leckie, I'm sorry, but Strouds is bringing in food, and you're not here, and I feel like that's a missed opportunity for all of us. Right?
Hey, I'm okay with cold chicken.
All right.
Standing up in front of the fridge door open.
Yes.
Eating chicken right out the fridge.
Yeah. Right. Door stays open.
Use your stomach as a plate. It's fantastic. And sit down. You know.
Nope. Right? It's like, hey, fridge, shut up. I know the door's open. Stop blinking.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I gotta finish off.
Oh, the beeps.
Right?
I don't need those beeps.
That's exactly right.
Is that AI for you? Is that all you got, Skynet?
You know,
cold fried chicken. You're right, man. Cold fried chicken 100 times better than cold pizza
with ketchup.
I don't know about that.
Well, easy. Maybe pepper sauce.
How about ketchup flavored potato chips?
Yeah,
those are delicious.
They are delicious. I loved them. I loved those last week. All right.
Staying by for more.
Nick Leckie joins us via phone, and Nick, what did you think of that first half comeback? Down 24-0 early in the second quarter, and they erased the entire deficit by halftime, and it was unbelievable to be there live and watch it. Everyone watching around the city, around the country, just were going crazy. What about you? What did you think of that comeback?
So I always look at a game as an offensive player is you get three possessions every quarter. So to me, I'm like McConaughey in True Detective, right? Time is a flat circle.
Right.
We get three possessions every quarter. And I did the math, and at 10 minutes left in the second quarter, I was like, okay, we still got nine possessions. So as long as we don't go down by 63, we're still good to go. So I was like, all right, we're good. You know, we can do this. But then when they ripped off, 6 or 7, 41 unanswered points, that's a backbreaker. That's a complete backbreaker. And it's like Houston was like, well, I thought it was like that South Park with the money system one where, like, the kids go to give money to the bank, and the banker's like, okay, you're going to invest this money, and it's gone. And that was Houston.
Okay, so...
That was totally Houston.
The Chiefs win that game, and now they have to face the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. And something that I've heard several analysts say, and I'm curious what your reaction to this is as a former offensive lineman and how you think the Chiefs are responding to this. Everyone, I've heard at least 3 or 4 people say, you know, the Titans are a physical offensive line, a physical football team. The Chiefs are a finesse offensive line, a finesse football team. That if you're a Chiefs offensive lineman, that's a shot that you take personally, right? What do you think, being a former offensive lineman?
Yeah, I don't agree. I don't agree with most analysts. I really don't. And to call an offensive lineman finesse, I think it's a bit of a compliment, right? That's the way I take it. I know what the intent is, that you're not 6'8", 350 pounds. You know, it's like I can hear finesse, and I can just hear you have little offensive linemen, right? You're athletic, right? You get to the ball, you win with smarts. It's such a cliched way to describe a lineman. But, I mean, the reason why Tennessee is a hammer offensive linemen is because they have a flipping war horse in the backfield. That's what makes them, you know, it's really, you're complimenting the running back, right? We have finesse running backs, and Derrick Henry is a monster at running back. And that's all you're comparing. O-linemen, you know, it's all the same. Whether you're finesse or hammer, it's all about what your running back is. And I think that's what they're really describing.
So true. So Derrick Henry is 6'3". And that's what stands out to me as much as anything about him is you just don't there have been some tall running backs here and there, but for the most part, I feel like you see guys that have a lower center of gravity that are a little shiftier. Did you ever play with a guy that reminds you of Derrick Henry at all in terms of just that, just how vertical he is, but powerful and fast Steven at the same time?
Steven Jackson?
Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson in St. Louis. Yeah, out of Oregon State.
Yeah.
Dude was a monster. And just so good. I mean, a little bit smaller than Derrick Henry, but, man, talk about a guy who could run through arm tackles and just fantastic, man. It's just, woo. But the interesting thing about Derrick Henry is if one of the D linemen can just slow down his momentum at the line of scrimmage, you have more success. But when he's running through the line of scrimmage, breaking arm tackles, and he's getting into that second level, third level, that's where he makes his money. But if you can get a chip on him, leaving the line of scrimmage, you have much better success. Stop that momentum. But you let him get open field, and he gets up to full stride. The dude's an animal. You know, he's one of the few guys where he's listed at 6'3", but in reality, he's really like 7'4", and everyone knows it.
We have Nick Leckie on the line right now, and there's a couple of very good points that have been made by some text messages. The first one, and I think you will appreciate this, Nick, how can you call this offensive line a finesse line when you see Eric Fisher stone cold two beers right after a touchdown? I mean, that
made me happy.
Right?
That made me happy. And it was unfortunate, as BJ mentioned in our podcast on Monday, that was Blake Bell's first career touchdown. And I think he'd be happy that Eric Fisher did that stone cold celebration, because I saw that on the Jumbotron and I was like, no way did that just happen. Like, that was amazing. That would be like on my, I would get that oil painted and put it over my mantle and replace the TV for sure. If that, I might just do that still. I still might do that. That was amazing.
By the way,
that was absolutely
to stick with Eric Fisher for a second, we've talked a lot back when he was out about, man, I don't know if a guy's stock has ever gone up more by being injured than Eric Fisher's, because we saw how much that offensive line struggled when he wasn't there, and they haven't lost a game since he came back. I've talked a lot about how I feel like that Tennessee Titans game was a watershed moment for the team. At the time that it happened, I was hoping, hey, this game needs to serve as a wake-up call. They've been playing sloppy and getting away with it. They finally realize now they can't get away with playing sloppy anymore. But they also got Eric Fisher back from that point on. How significant has he been for this team? And maybe if you could take both of those topics, you know, losing the game against the Titans and getting Eric Fisher back, this team hasn't lost since. What do you make of it?
So I think that Tennessee Titans game was sort of the wake up call for the offense, and sort of a clarion call for the defense, where everyone likes to blame the defense on that one, saying, oh man, the Titans ran roughshod over that, you know, Chiefs defense. And it was mostly, they were broken down by body shots, Steven, boxing term, all game long. And then the fourth quarter, man, they were so spent. And what really happened was the offense wasn't getting these long, sustained 8-plus play drives that we see them, you know, switch to in December, right, to give the Chiefs defense a break. Because I think that was, to me, when I was like, okay, this defense is really, really good for the Chiefs, man. They just shut down Derrick Henry all day. And, you know, to play defense, you've got to play offense too, right, where the offense has to do their job and not go three and out and give the defense just a little bit of time to get some rest, get some water on the sidelines, take a breather. And so the offense really failed the defense in the sense that not putting points on the board, that's an obvious one, but not sustaining those drives to get it done. And then your second question, Eric Fisher, that's the bummer part about that all of us O-linemen know, and no one under 300 pounds can really recognize, is that good offensive linemen, like I look at, sorry for the K-State comparison, but you look at a guy like Dalton Risner last year at K-State at right tackle. Dude was boring to watch because it was like, pass set, stick the DN, go on about your business, right? Nothing happened on the right side. Same thing with Eric Fisher. You know, he sticks his guy. He doesn't have many of, like, the I'm going to drive you into the dirt pancake blocks. But you know what he does? He sticks his DN. He sticks the D lineman, right? He makes good blocks. And the beauty thing about and the most underrated, sublime thing about a lineman is you don't miss them until they're gone.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's what we saw. And shout out to Cam Irving. I thought he did a really good job because he's mostly a really good guard. And then to have him play tackle, he did a great job. I know he was under pressure and had some stuff happen, but to play what he did was really good. And he came in fourth play of a drive, man. I thought he did pretty well, all things considered.
Another comment from the text line, and that's 913-912-4810. I haven't heard any of the shows mention this, but something could come into play. The Titans signed their kicker week 16, and he has yet to attempt a field goal this season for the Titans. Only extra points so far. I mean, hell, that could come into play, right?
It really could. I mean, kickers, like good kickers, will keep their head out of the game and mostly look at where you should be at, right? Like it's like, okay, it's third down. We're getting close. All right, I better start warming up, right? But a good kicker will keep his head out of the game, and a good kicker can kick wherever. But I will give you this, and it's something, you know, we've mentioned a lot on our podcast, is the winds at Arrowhead can be swirly, right, where you're looking up at the flags at the top, and they're going one way, and then you look at the flags on the goalpost, and they're going another way. So it can make for a head trip if you're a kicker trying to kick it through the uprights.
We've got Nick Leckie on the line. Super Bowl champ Nick Leckie, by the way, who was celebrating an anniversary of that championship with the Saints earlier this year. So I want to ask you this question. We were talking with Adam Teicher about it earlier this week. As I watched the Chiefs, Nick, with this comeback against the Houston Texans, I have this feeling like this was their moment. The 2015 Royals had a moment against, coincidentally enough, the Houston Astros, where they stared their worst nightmare in the face. They were down 6-2 in the eighth inning, and they stared that demon down, and they came back and won that game. And from that moment on, it just seemed like this team is going to win. They've already slayed their dragon. Now it's just a march to the championship. I could be wrong, but I feel that way about this Chiefs team. Like, they just stared their worst nightmare in the face. The choke job that has plagued the Chiefs forever and ever at Arrowhead Stadium was right there in front of them. They kept shooting themselves in the foot, and they didn't blink. They came back and won that game. So I feel like that was the moment, and now it's on to the Super Bowl. First of all, do you feel that way at all about this team? And second of all, did you guys as a Saints team have any moments like that you look back on and say, that was it? That was the moment where we knew we were a Super Bowl champ.
You know, with regards to the Chiefs, it's championship teams. It's not about production from, like, your top 10 guys. It's about production from everyone else. And if you look at Dan Sorensen doing his job on that fake punt, only guy out there making a hell of an open field tackle on that fake punt, and then coming off and then afterwards saying, you know, that was my job, I did my job, is what the adversity and the Chiefs overcoming that adversity just showed the resolve of this team and shows the confidence and leadership of Matthew, of Frank Clark, of Holmes, of Kelsey.
I think we lost Nick. Jake, see if you can reconnect with him before we let him go.
I really want to hear from him if there were any specific moments, because I feel like in most championship, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like in most championship teams,
you're wrong.
There's that moment where, okay, that was it right there. For me, like, as a KU fan, when Kansas beat Steph Curry in the Elite Eight and Bill Self dropped to his knees because for him at that point in time, it was the Elite Eight. He couldn't get past the Elite Eight. And when that shot didn't go for Davidson and Kansas went to the Final Four, it was like, okay, that's the moment. They got over that hump, and now it's on to the national championship. For the Royals, we talked about that when they had that moment against the Astros. I just wonder if there was anything special for him with the Saints. Okay, yeah, we're going to go win the Super Bowl now. And
I think it was when they signed Chase Daniel as the backup.
Might have been.
Might be pointing at.
He said it's not the top 10 guys on the roster. It's the other guys.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And maybe he was talking about himself, too, there.
Coming up later, we're going to talk to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. And also Chiefs great Daron Cherry will join us at 9:30. And reminder, we will be broadcasting live all day long from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. at Rally House, 9750 Corvera, right across the street from Oak Park Mall. And Nate will be out there from 6 a.m. until 10 a.m., then the zone, then the program. You can have your chance to win tickets to the game on Sunday every hour. Giving away a $50 gift card to Rally House. It's a Chiefs tailgate takeover. Mr. Beavis is going to be out there with delicious tailgate food from 3 until 6 p.m. If you're looking for a place to get your party started early, get the weekend started right, go out to Rally House Superstore right across the street from Oak Park Mall tomorrow from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. And then while you're there, go to Dan Dan the Tailor Man. It's right next in the next parking lot because all of his suits are 51% off this week off of 97 the Quivira. Dan Dan the Tailor Man. Just tell him that Stephen St. John said just you can kill two birds with one stone. You were telling us about maybe the moment when if there was a moment with the Saints when you guys realized that, okay, we are going to win a Super Bowl. If everyone came together with one belief, was there ever a moment during that season?
So, and then with the Saints, I think it was losing three games in a row. And then that was what really just kind of chilled us out where, we're 13-0 and we're on top of the world, and then we lose three games, and that's humbling to go in the playoffs. That makes you rethink everything about your whole life and your whole football situation. And so losing those last three games, really, and then still getting that home field advantage was like, all right, it's a new season, playoffs, let's forget what we just did during the regular season, and let's start new. And I think Sean Payton had a lot of credit for that because he knew his players. He knew all of us. It was awesome.
What should the Chiefs' defensive approach be to try to slow down Derrick Henry?
Well, it's going to be up to your...
On that note, Pounders, we will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.